It took a long time before I could muster up the courage to write about my experiences as a prisoner of war. Those who survived the POW camps, mostly through sheer luck and determination, wanted nothing more than to wipe out the memories of those bad times. After the surrender of Japan in August 1945, we POWs only wanted to move on to better lives, to find a career, get married, raise a family, and most of all, forget about our terrible 3.5-year ordeal. Even though I had lived through that time, saw the things that I saw, and heard the things that I heard, even then, most of my experience seemed like a bad dream. The real nightmare, even more than the abuse that we received as POWs, was the fact that our own government had coldly used us as pawns to play for time. It expended us to make up for its own failure to protect the nation and its servicemen from armed aggression. Revelations over the past few years have given credibility to the suspicion that America's entry into World War II may even have been clandestinely courted. If so, then to the POWs, our national policy was unforgivable. I would go to the POW reunions, but other than that, I told myself the last thing my family wanted to dwell on was the rough time I had been through. Surely, they too wanted to bury the war and move on. During the decades that followed, we managed to do that, I thought. The war was over, and family and friends celebrated my return. I married Millie and stayed in the Air Force, becoming a technical instructor at the same base from which I had started, Chanute Field, Illinois. We bought a home and started to raise our family. World War II receded farther into the recesses of my mind. But in 1983, something happened that caused me to reconsider my silent stand. I had retired from the Air Force and had become a civil service technical instructor. Then, I retired from the civil service to pursue my interest in horticulture. I had opened a flower and garden business and was doing pretty well at it. One of my seed and plant dealers became a close friend and would stay for dinner when he was in town. One night, we were sitting around having a drink and shooting the breeze. I had, on occasion, told him stories about my wartime experiences. But on this one night, he had a story for me. My friend said that his great-grandfather had been in the Civil War. His big battle was Gettysburg, in which he had had all of the battle experience that he could handle. Then, like me, his great-grandfather decided to just bury his past. Apparently, he did a good job, for my friend told me that his family had always felt left out of a part of their heritage. This Civil War service, which later generations should have been able to point with pride, was instead a great gap in their family history. The point of his story was not lost on me. I came to realize that maybe I did have something, other than my own perceptions, to consider. I did owe some thread of continuity to my family and all of our descendants as to my World War II experience. I needed to leave an eyewitness account that people could relate to of what an American serviceman caught in the Philippines at the start of the war had to endure. I realized also that it was something that I owed to another group, the soldiers and sailors who could not write nor tell anyone anything because they never made it back. So I opened up. Not too long after the conversation with my friend, I began writing my war experiences, usually late at night after everyone else had gone to bed. When the memories began to come back, they could be painful. They were so real at times that I would arm myself with a bottle of bourbon, especially on those nights when I knew that the subject matter was going to be heavy. Also, to prepare myself for this task, I researched and read a lot to expand my POW tunnel vision of World War II.